Well, last week we took a look at the first part of one of the most interesting conversations that I have ever found in the Bible. It was a conversation between a man named Nicodemus and, of course, Jesus, the only Son of God who is God, who has come in human flesh to redeem all of humanity. Nicodemus, this man who came to Jesus by night, wasn't quite ready to be identified with Christ yet. And rightly so, because in all honesty, he was probably risking his career and possibly his life by going to speak to Jesus. But Nicodemus was confused because he was surrounded by people who violently hated Christ. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, part of the Sanhedrin, the 70 ruling elders in Israel. And most of those elders said very hateful, very hurtful things toward the things of Christ. And they even sought to kill him, to take his life. But Nicodemus saw something in Jesus that he just couldn't dismiss. And so he came to him. Nicodemus saw his mighty works, he saw his miracles, his signs and his wonders, and he saw the compassion that Christ had for the poor, for the weak, those who were cast aside by society, those who would be viewed as disposable by humanity. Nicodemus knew there was something different about this man, for he also taught as one who had authority. And as Nicodemus heard his words, something happened in his heart because he was experiencing the greatest teacher that ever walked the face of this earth in the person of Jesus Christ. Nicodemus saw in Jesus what he himself was lacking. An assurance, a calmness, a contentment that Nicodemus didn't have. Seeing the compassion and the love for Jesus Christ in the midst of all of the hatred that was directed toward him. He walked in love and continued to walk in love all the way to the cross. This caused Nicodemus to come to Jesus to get some answers. Nicodemus knew something was missing because he saw it in the work and person of Christ. And so as he came to Christ and he asked him this question, Nicodemus starts his question with a preface, as some of the other Pharisees began their questions in trying to trap Jesus. But Nicodemus says, "We know that you are a teacher sent by God, for no one can do these things unless God is with him." It is my belief and my conviction that at that point, Jesus interrupts Nicodemus and says, "Wait a minute, Nicodemus, you're missing something. You're missing the very vital, the most important component in trying to understand what it is you're missing. You must be born again. You must be born from above." Later on, John the Baptist reveals exactly what Nicodemus is lacking. John the Baptist says, "Not one thing can be given to you unless it's given from God himself." And so what was Nicodemus missing? Salvation and the power of the Holy Spirit. And so Nicodemus knew in his heart that something was missing, that something wasn't quite right. And as Jesus says, "You must be born again," this confused him, because as he's tried to rationalize all of the things that Jesus was trying to tell him, he started to try to rationalize it in human wisdom, in human understanding. And I got to be honest with you, and I mean this with all sincerity, that the cross does not make sense to humanity. It seems foolishness, weakness, frivolity. It just seems utterly absurd to the human mind, doesn't it? That God would come as a man and allow us to kill him to save us? Where in any sentence do you hear the words "he died" and the two words "good news"? Where else in the world do you hear attached "he died" and the words "good news"? It is only through the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. But Jesus was letting Nicodemus know that what was missing was a gift that can only come from and through God. John the Baptist, as he says, a person cannot receive even one thing unless it's given to him from above. Paul says the same thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He says, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. That's what was missing. That's what was missing so long in my life. As for 24 years, I faked my way through going to church, walked in an incredibly sinful lifestyle after I left high school, knew something was missing, tried to find it in all of the wrong places, looking for love in all of the wrong places. And I resisted him, and I ran from him. But as we will see today, Nicodemus was smart enough to acknowledge that he was missing something. Nicodemus was brave enough to go to Christ to seek the answers, even in the midst of people around him hating on Jesus, complaining about Jesus, and trying to put him to death. I believe that Nicodemus was a very brave man because he could have lost his career and he could have possibly lost his life. But as the conversation continues, Jesus is revealing himself to Nicodemus, and he tries to use a point of reference. Now, a Pharisee was a teacher of the Old Testament law, and so in verse 15, as we talked about last week very briefly, Jesus takes Nicodemus back to Numbers chapter 21, where after the children of Israel had been saved out of the land of Egypt, out of their bondage, out of their slavery, they complained to the Lord that that wasn't good enough. I want more. Give me mine. Just like a little toddler sometimes screams, mine, give me. We're no different. We may be older, but we're no different. And so as they tested the Lord sent a judgment, a plague of poisonous snakes. Now, I couldn't think personally of a more yucky plague in my life. I could deal with flies. I could deal with frogs. I could deal with locusts. I could deal with those. But snakes? Man, I just hate snakes. But they weren't just any snakes. They were poisonous snakes. And so as the people of Israel were bitten by these poisonous snakes, Moses took a staff and he put it in the middle of the camp. And as people looked at that staff with a snake wrapped around it, which is the what represents healing, which is on the side of every ambulance in the United States, this healing could not be bought. This healing could not be purchased. This healing could not be earned. This healing came through faith in God's salvation. And in Numbers 21, it pointed to what Christ would do on the cross. Because each one of you, each one, me too, have been bitten by the same snake, the snake of the devil. And each one of us, because of the Garden of Eden and the fall of Adam and Eve, we have been bitten and have a poisonous infection in our souls that, if left untreated, will bring death. And so we pick up where we left off last week in the midst of this wonderful conversation as Jesus reveals the spiritual kingdom that Christ has come to bring. And so my heart is this, as that as we continue to walk through this conversation, that we would first and foremost understand that nothing can be known about God unless it's given by God. It must come through His Word and the power of His Holy Spirit. I also want you to remember that each person is born separated from God and in need of a Savior like Jesus. And as God healed the children of Israel from the poisonous infection, so too the great physician, capital G, will heal you from the poison that infects your soul. It is by Christ alone, by His stripes, that we are healed. So as we celebrate Palm Sunday, as He is 7 days away from being executed for you and for me, I pray that we would, as we listen into this conversation of Nicodemus and Jesus, that we would pay attention very closely to what God is speaking to us by the Holy Spirit through his word. Stand with me as we read. And so we're going to look at two things: that Jesus is the remedy for this infection, but he also gives us the symptoms of this infection, the evidence that the infection is real, because there's a principle that those who are in the darkness love the darkness and they hate the light. So we're going to pick it up. I'm actually going to read from verse 9 through 21, but we're going to be looking at verses 16 through 21. Nicodemus said to Jesus, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you not a teacher of Israel, yet you do not understand these things? Truly I say to you, we speak of what we know and we bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things, how will you believe in the heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people love the darkness rather than the light because their works are evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this word and this conversation that we can eavesdrop into. Lord, I know that in the midst of every single person's situation, being born separated from you, either we have already had this discussion with you or we are having it right now. And so, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would work in and through the word, and that you would touch our hearts, open our hearts. I thank you and I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. So the first thing that we're going to look at is that Jesus provides the remedy for the poison of sin. Jesus provides the remedy for the poison of sin. Looking at verses 16 through 18, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." And so the remedy is very, very simple. It's God's love. There is no clearer display of love than through the humiliation of Jesus Christ, through his life, death, and resurrection. There is no clearer display of pure, biblical, godly love than the work and person of Christ. God so loved the world. That little two-letter word, "so," is very, very important. And if you write in your Bible, you should circle it, because God so loved you that he was willing to die for you. But as Jesus revealed in verse 15, humanity was in trouble. Humanity was infected by the poison of a sinful state brought on by the disobedience and rebellion of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and that every single person born is born with this infection and born separated from God. But many people go through this life and they're totally unaware that this is the case. Many people go through life and they just like, "Well, everything is fine. I don't really need any help from anybody. I'm self-sufficient. I can do it on my own. Others just totally ignore the warning signs altogether. My dad was a mechanic, and he owned a gas station when I was a kid in Minnesota. And I used to come, and I can't even tell you how many times people would take duct tape and put over the engine warning light. I'm not kidding. People saw the engine light come on in their car, and they would literally put a piece of duct tape over it, and they would ignore the warning signs and willingly drive that car in denial that it was in need of repair. It was a willful choice. Is your engine light on today of your soul? Are you going to put a piece of tape over it? Or are you going to bring it into the true mechanic, the great physician? So many times we ignore the warning signs that Christ is trying to reveal through his word and the power of the Holy Spirit. We love to ignore God. We love to put him on a shelf. We love to only choose him when it's convenient for us. It's too bad, really. So many times we ignore the Holy Spirit tugging on the heartstrings of our soul, telling us that something is missing, something is wrong. Because that's what Jesus is trying to do with Nicodemus. Nicodemus, you're missing something. If you can't hear the love of Christ dripping from the words of this text, you haven't read it very carefully. He is genuinely concerned with everybody's soul, everyone's. Nicodemus, do you remember back in the wilderness? Remember this portion of scripture that you've probably taught hundreds of times? Do you remember how they were infected with this poison? Do you see that you have this same poison and that you, what you're lacking is the remedy for this poison? You cannot understand it in human wisdom. You cannot rationalize it with human logic. It must be given to you by the power of the Holy Spirit and acknowledging who I am, like that song we sang earlier. What will you do with this Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Because even no response is a response. A non-response to Jesus is rejection of Jesus. And we're going to see that in a minute. Jesus says, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already. Making us aware that we're born in this condition. And each one of us is infected with this poison of sin. We all are in need of a Savior like Jesus. And that's my heart here, is that we all know that. That we're all aware that you can't earn it, you can't buy it. Because I'm going to tell you, the remedy for salvation is very, very costly. And it cost God his only Son. It is a price that we cannot pay. But it is a gift that is freely given and freely accepted. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Do you realize that I'm not trying to make anyone feel bad here? What I am is I'm pleading for your soul. I'm not trying to make anyone feel guilty. I'm not trying to put anybody in a corner. I am literally, if I could, I'd get on my knees. I'm begging you to respond. Please don't ignore him. The final thing that we're going to look at is that Jesus reveals the evidence or the symptoms that this infection is real. Jesus reveals the evidence that this infection is real. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been carried out in God. That word in right there, that little word in God, means in union with. So even the good works that we accomplish are in God's power, and the grammar in the Greek reveals that to us. I want to just stress that before I begin. So any good work that's carried out is in the power of God. That's what it says grammatically. But Jesus reveals here that a tree is known by its fruit. He said earlier in the Gospels, a bad tree cannot bear good fruit, and a good tree cannot bear bad fruit. That's just the reality. The true state of a person's soul is the tendencies of their heart, the desires of their heart, and the things they dislike and hate. That reveals the true state and nature of our soul. And so as Nicodemus, a man who was surrounded by brutal, violent hatred for this person named Jesus, Nicodemus pushes through the hatred, he pushes through the pain, he pushes through the fear, because he knows something's missing. Jesus reveals that there's a poison that infects all of humanity, and he wants Nicodemus to see this. And these are the symptoms of the poison. Everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds be exposed. His actions, their conduct, their thoughts, the desires of their heart be revealed. As I resisted God early in my life, in my 20s, I was so afraid of what people would really find out about what I did when the doors were shut and the lights were off, the shame and the guilt that I felt. But when I was finally saved, I realized so much that Jesus wasn't here looking to condemn me and to wag his finger at me. He was looking to save me and rescue me. They're no longer ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want my life to be clearly seen and experienced by people. Not because I'm a better person, not because I'm smarter, not because I earned anything. I am a sinner saved by grace who deserves to die and go to hell. I am. But I'm not ashamed to say that anymore. Because even though in the midst of my imperfection, in the midst of my own sinful state, I stand innocent before you because of what Christ has done. Because I have surrendered my heart to him. I have believed and received in this person called Jesus. And I allow Jesus to heal me from the infection that plagued me. So those who are born again, they have a desire for the things that glorify his name in and through our lives. Those who are born again pursue the things of God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. But those who are not saved have a hatred for the light, and they have a hatred for the things of the light. Those who are not saved, their infection remains, and they have a propensity, a desire to sin. They are drawn and often controlled by their sin. In fact, Jesus reveals that there exists a hatred for the things of God and the people of God in this text here. And these are the symptoms that this infection is real. Everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest their deeds, their actions, their conduct, their desires be exposed. The hatred for the things and the people of God stem from a conviction, a willful denial, or just a literal rebellious choice to ignore it. Putting a piece of duct tape over the warning light on your car. I choose to ignore this, and I will walk in my own strength, and I will reject Christ and his love and his salvation. The bottom line is this, and I'm going to read this twice. An unsaved person will hate and complain about those who display or pursue a passionate relationship with the Lord because they see in them what they are lacking. A person who complains about God, Jesus, the church, and a person who passionately pursues the things of God sees in their life what they are missing and what they lack. And they complain about those people. They say hateful and hurtful things about those people. And Jesus is the perfect example, isn't he? Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? You couldn't have said anything more contrary to God's face, more hateful toward God than those words. Many times people say things about me that aren't true because I represent the very thing they're running from. It's part of the job. I don't always like it. But for those who will listen, those who do surrender and receive that free gift of salvation in Christ, it's worth it. I'll gladly be someone's verbal punching bag for a passionate pursuit of a relationship with the God who saved me. Gladly, willingly. People who love the darkness often feel that there's no need for healing, ignoring the warning signs, putting that piece of duct tape over the dash. They believe that they're just fine the way they are. Jesus is on the shelf, and their heart is still infected. But I believe that all who are here today, under the sound of my voice, Jesus stands at the door and he knocks. What will you do with this, Jesus? It's exactly what was going on with Nicodemus. Surrounded by hate, surrounded by a violent hatred for Christ, Nicodemus pushes through that hatred and desires the things of God. And as we walk through the rest of this conversation, Jesus reveals the second step that Nicodemus will take after he believes and receives Christ as Lord, Savior, and Messiah. But whoever does what is true comes to the light like a moth drawn to a flame, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been carried out in God. Jesus reminds us in Matthew chapter 5, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? Is something missing? Has your salt lost its taste in your soul? You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. No, I'm going to let it shine. How's that song go that we sang in Sunday school? Put it under a basket? No. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but put it on a stand so that it gives light to the whole house. Can I tell you that discipleship begins in your home? The love of Christ that flows in and through your life begins at home. Your light of Jesus Christ should shine brightest at home. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And so Jesus extends this invitation, come and then follow me. It's more than just converting. It's more than just coming to church once in a blue moon. It's more than just saying you're a Christian. It's becoming a follower of Christ. It's a verb. It's not a noun. It's not even an adjective. It's a verb. It's an action word. Allowing the Holy Spirit to empower you in your life. God saves us. It is a free gift. You cannot earn it. You cannot buy it. But after this free gift is opened, there's a purpose for it. Just as light has a purpose. And what is the purpose of light? To illuminate the room, to shine the light and love of Jesus Christ in and through your life, through what you choose, through the words you speak, the actions and the desires of your heart, because you long to worship him. And as a moth is drawn to a flame, so are those who are born again drawn toward a passionate pursuit in the things of God. And so Jesus gave Nicodemus a lot to chew on that day, didn't he? Nicodemus left maybe with more questions than he had answers to. But as we walk through the Gospel of John in our continuing series, we will see that Nicodemus does accept Christ as personal Lord and Savior, and he becomes a follower of Jesus Christ. And so there's naturally two questions that emerge here from our text here today. First, to the believers. What have you done with this Jesus? Is he convenient only on your schedule? How have you worshiped God in your own heart, in your own life, and in your own home? It's not because we have to. It's because we want to. And if you don't want to, you need to ask the question, is something missing? Because if you don't want to, and you don't want to pursue it, something is wrong. The warning light is on. And for those who haven't or don't know that they've believed and received Christ as personal Lord and Savior, Jesus stands at the door and knocks. And if you would permit me, as God is tugging on my heartstrings right now, to read Romans chapter 10. What does God's word say? What is God telling you right now? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For Scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. Is this you? Has Jesus, the great physician, healed you of the infection that you were born with? What will you do with this Jesus? Lord, I thank you for today, and I thank you for this crossroad that you have led all of us to, because it is your love to make us aware that something is wrong. It is your love that brings warning signs to our soul and our spirit, understanding to a greater degree that either something's missing or just something's lacking, just like Nicodemus did. But as Nicodemus came to you, may all of us come to you with humble hearts, teachable hearts, understanding that it is only by your strength, power, and salvation that we can be saved. And it is by nothing that we do. And Lord, after we have believed and received in the only Son of God, the Lamb who has come to take away the sin of the world, I pray that your strength and your power through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit would empower each one of us to live as a living sacrifice, to live as an ambassador for Jesus Christ, ministering the gospel of reconciliation to all who come across our path. And may we do this in thought, word, and deed. And may we do it as an act of worship to a holy God who deserves our worship. That is my prayer. May it be so. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.